K2GDQ, KE2GDQ, this is K2PCB.
K2PCB, this is KE2GDQ. How are you this morning? At least it's not raining.
It is not raining, and today is my Friday, so no complaints here. Things are looking very nice for the start of today's Thursday.
Yeah, I remember looking forward to those Thursdays being Fridays. I can appreciate that.
Just like last weekend, which was pretty full. This weekend is maybe not as full, but I guess things start today. Today we're having our new mattress delivered. It's supposed to be here between 9:30 and 12:30. Of course, I'll be at work for that. Not a big deal. Tomorrow, we're heading out to Delmonico's in Rochester. It's Lynn's sister's birthday, and we're going to head out there. So that should be nice, but that's not until the afternoon. I think our reservation's at 4 o'clock. They don't even open until 4, so we're going to be one of the early birds. Then, excuse me. We're going to a Halloween party on Saturday, so that's a Lynn's family thing, so that's always a good time every year, lots of people, costumes, and fun and good food. We'll make our stuffed peppers, and that's what was asked of us, so yeah, that'll be cool. Sunday will be our day to relax, maybe play a little radio. So did you see that link that I had sent you for new hams?
I did. I looked it up. And what they're offering is a set of handhelds, dual band UHF, VHF, 5-watt handhelds for like $18.
Oh, actually, I didn't realize it was a set. I thought it was a single just to help people get started and maybe get their brand in your hand at a reasonable price. I have not heard anything great about those radios. In fact, they come in right at the price point of like a Bofeng radio, lower-end Bofeng radio. And, yeah, I know Gigaparts sells components. So I'm sure this is a rebranded radio by one of the other manufacturers. At a quick glance, it kind of reminded me like a Redivis or a TYT radio. I'm sure it's just rebranded. I could be completely wrong, but I can't imagine that they are designing and marketing their own. But maybe that's their way to get into it. It kind of reminds me of, do I need another HT? Ross and I are in that situation. Do I need another HT? And then we see one, we like it, we buy it, or he gets gifted one. Unfortunately, if one of the, members of the fire hall will pass or don't need it anymore, they'll give it to him. But it reminds me of those videos that I've seen where, and I'll use ham radio as an example. The video starts out where somebody walks up to the counter, maybe in a store to return it. You know, he's got a couple HTs, or maybe it's a pawn shop or something, and says, my wife says I can't keep these. And so then the clerk says, well, would you like to see some other options? And he says, yeah, sure. And he turns around the computer screen or the tablet and starts flipping through, pictures of ladies. So the options would be to replace his wife, who didn't want him to have all that gear. And there's a bunch of those videos made for different hobbies. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I'm smiling with that one. That's pretty good. I can kind of understand that. Your wife's got her Lynn has her license, right?
She does, but she got it back when our friend group was very active in the club, and I don't want to say she was peer pressured into it, but she was probably peer pressured into it. And she does not get on the air unless I'm talking to somebody and it's somebody that she knows. You know, like if I'm talking to Ross, you know, she'll sometimes talk to Ross, but not very often. She's not one to just get on the radio and use it. Maybe if, you know, we were, I don't know. She doesn't like the whole contesting thing either of contact after contact. Yeah, only really talking to people that she knows and wants to chat with. But that is extremely rare. But yeah, KC2JSY. KC2JSY is her call sign.
That is cool though that you guys, you know, have something you could do together. I know Peter's partner Liz has her license, and they do, according to what Peter does, is that they said that they've done some contesting, but they like to do POTUS.
Yeah, that's why I'm kind of, you know, not like running out buying gear today, but doing my research on how to get set up to do POTAs, maybe come springtime, and, you know, make a day of it. You know, pack a lunch, Lynn and I can go out, and especially if it's I like the idea of, you know, having a park that's got a nice atmosphere, a nice view, and, yeah, get out there and enjoy a couple hours where I can work radio, she can, especially if it's by the water, she likes walking the shoreline. Come play radio if she wants, but someplace where she wouldn't be, you know, bored out of her mind, you know, just sitting there watching me play radio if she didn't want to. That would be very nice. I'd like to work my way towards that. But like I was saying the other day, I didn't want it to be a burden in the amount of gear I had to, you know, carry out there and set up. Before I forget about it, I don't know if it's tariff-related or technology-related. I think it's more technology. With the bans they want to put on imports from China, you know, I know they're concerned about some of, like, the network routers, things like that. That could have, you know, ride-along hardware and or software. But they're also talking about some Chinese ham radio brands, and I think Hytera might have been in that list. TYT might be a future state concern. Nothing as of yet, but there's some talk of, at least that I heard about, banning some of these imports. Have you heard anything about that?
I haven't heard about the network stuff, but I did hear that there was some buried software and some other equipment that has state officials concerned that they could be infiltrating some stuff. Yeah, I've picked up bits and pieces of that.
Oh, yeah, you could definitely see it with some of your home automation equipment. You know, Dave Camp was very concerned because we wanted to use some of the lights, you know, the remotely activated RGB bulbs to indicate Cal station status, but rather than being completely land-based, locally programmed, it requires you to go to a site, which was, I believe, a Chinese company, to register yourself as a user and then program that device remotely. So you're giving them all your information and their you're giving them access into your system to program that device. And for a lot of home users, that might not seem like that big of a deal. Oh, I'm just programming a light bulb to work on my network, but you're giving out your network credentials and who you are to a home automation device, which can be connected to other devices that are, you know, microphones and cameras and even just ways to monitor your routines. Yeah, I can definitely see it.
Yeah, I can too. I don't have any, used to, but I don't use them anymore, programmable lights and programmable timers. I don't use them anymore. So the only thing we have is, and I can say this because I'm far away from it, is Echo Dot and Alexa, which I'm not thrilled with, but it allows me to listen to a lot of Yankee games when I'm in the kitchen.
And I'm in the same situation, but maybe a little deeper in that we have, even in our apartment, which is incredibly small, we have three, right? Yeah. We have one that's in the divider between the kitchen and the living room, so if we're eating dinner or watching TV, we can ask it questions. I have one at my desk in my room, and then we do have one, because we like to listen to sleep sounds in the worst place of all, and that's in our bedroom. But that's primarily what we use them for. 90% of their usage is either sleep sounds or to set timers. I should say set routines, because we do turn lights on and off. But yeah, it does have the potential to listen in. We have no cameras in the system. Yeah, so it has the ability to listen to what we're saying and monitor what we're watching on TV. And I can't believe that I just saw that. As I've stopped at Sheldon and Hinchy and I'm looking to the left, there was a school bus. You know, they have to stop at the crossing. Somebody came around and passed the school bus going over the railroad tracks.
They went around the school bus while it was just stopped at a crossing for 10 seconds. Really?
Yep. So, yeah, as the bus stops, they come to a complete stop. They must have gotten impatient, pulling around, and here now the school bus's headlights and their headlights coming across the tracks at the same time. So they're cresting that hill as they're on the, you know, oncoming traffic side. Really? This is K2PCB.
Wow. I guess some people are really, 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 really impatient. This is KETGDQ.
And I will admit, I'm a very distracted driver. Mostly when I'm playing on the radio, or if I'm putting on music with my phone or something. I try not to do anything more than that, but relative to what some people do. I know, like Lynn's sister, she will try not to answer the phone. Even though she's got Bluetooth in her vehicle, you know, if she leaves her phone in her purse, she considers it a distraction. If you call her, she'll want to end that call quickly because she's driving. And that's a, I guess, an admirable thing. You know, it makes me sometimes wonder, you know, about one person's confidence level if they are driving and having a Bluetooth phone call is distracting. You know, when things start to get, you know, congested on the road or people are driving erratic around you, how are they going to respond? If those kind of things are you know, trying for you while you're driving. Anyway, just something I was just thinking about.
KC2NVM, good morning. So you don't try to do, like, crossword puzzles while you're driving?
Well, if you talk to Lynn, she'll be the first to tell you that I like to cut my fingernails while I'm driving. And I don't. I have. Not necessarily my fingernails. I have been known to pull up to a stoplight and pull out a little manicure set that I keep here in the center console. I'm man enough to admit this, but I get these little dry cuticles that for some reason, when I'm driving, become very pronounced. And, you know, I'll roll up to the next intersection. If I'm just hitting it as it turns red and I know I have time, I'll pull out those clippers and I'll snip off that crusty cuticle and toss that and then move on. There's really nothing more than that, but when we're talking to people and we're talking about distracted driving, that's one thing that she will she'll always throw out there. Yeah, Travis cuts his fingernails while he's driving, and Sarah shaves her legs while she's driving, which is her niece.
Better your fingernails than your toenails.
I'm sure somebody has tried to clip their toenails when they're driving. I'm sure it has been attempted.
That would be a trick and a half. So good morning, Mr. Jeff. Welcome to Thursday.
At a highway speed.
Good morning. Anything new and exciting?
Things that people do when they're driving is amazing. And yes, I think the distractions for driving have gotten worse over the years.
So I think we're kind of in that in-between, right? You know, we've been teased with self-driving cars. Of course, me personally, like the idea of having the freedom to drive my own car. I have mixed feelings, whether it's a luxury or not, to have a self-driving car. Though I'm sure it has the potential to be much safer if everyone has a self-driving car. But I guess we've gone from, you know, horse and carriage days where your carriage being pulled by the horse, your horse is most likely not going to run you off the road. And if you fall asleep, it might even get you home. If you're intoxicated, it might get you home. And then we're in this in-between stage where we are responsible for ourselves with this future state idea of, you know, we just get into little pods and it gets us to where we're going. I don't know if we'll live to see all that, but it would be interesting. That's for sure.
Until the AI decides to do better without us and just kill us all.
It's funny you should mention self-driving cars. When we were in Austin and Vegas, there was a number of autonomous taxis that were around, and it was really weird to look into a car and not see a driver. And it doing pretty decent on the road. It was amazing.
And I know a lot of people will poo-poo the autonomous vehicles, but I think they're getting better and better. They're learning from their mistakes. Yeah, some of these mistakes have been fatal, for sure, but there unless the system crashes, there are no distractions, and it's always thinking. It's how do we get it to think, you know, on more levels, to pay attention to more, to do a better job of, you know, interpreting its environment and predicting risks. We tend to get ourselves rolling and then move on to something else. And then we pay attention, then we move on to something else. You know, whether we're in conversation, thinking about our work day, thinking about our weekend, so on and so forth. Anyway, I've got 6:44, and I think Jeff and I are about to head in, and Ross is probably already in there. So I'll wish you a good Thursday afternoon. If I'm up on Friday, though, I didn't make it in last weekend. I'll check in with you guys in the morning. Otherwise, I'll talk to you soon. This is K2PCB.
73s to you guys. You guys have a great day. And this is KE2GDQ, and we're clear of the channel.